What's up, everybody? My name is David EJ Berger. You can find me at Carl Jr. on Twitter, and welcome to Training Camp Dialed In. I'll be featuring phone calls with NFL writers and reporters from the actual sidelines of camp,
getting their firsthand accounts of the action from a fantasy perspective.
This is the place to be all month long, so you need to subscribe to the Fantasy Authority feed, the exclusive home of the super short run, super niche, and super essential podcast for the month of August. And we are back. We are back.
You know, I don't talk about
my real job, my day job, as a television producer too much on this podcast, but sometimes I do comedy. Recently worked on a project streaming on Amazon Prime right now called Fat Tuesdays, just about the launch of some of your favorite comedians in the late 90s from a Tuesday night at the Comedy Store. Might want to check that out. I do deal in comedy, even though you might find these intros something you have to sit through more than making you laugh. Although some people are laughing out there. I know it. Some people are laughing out there. Okay, I have some self-confidence-ish. But in comedy, they call it the rule of three. And guess what? We're going to apply that to this podcast because we are three in a row here, folks. Episode three of this podcast, we have not let up, okay? We're dropping episodes hard, often. I'm trying to be there for you guys, okay? There's a lot going on this month. I want to get the details that you need for your drafts out there. And I think I did again today. I dialed up Gilbert Manzano. If you're a routine listener of this podcast, you know he was our Chargers guy. Now he's switched to the Super Bowl winning Los Angeles Rams. As a Rams fan, this is a very exciting conversation for me. He's the Rams beat reporter for the OC Register and the LA Daily News. You can follow him at GManzano24 on Twitter. This is exciting. The Rams have had a lot of practices at this point. They were one of the first teams to start, and Gilbert is going to fill you in on what you have missed if you've not been following, and maybe confirm some biases out there. Talking to you Allen Robinson drafters on Underdog right now, you're hitting that draft button, and I think you're gonna be happy with what you hear. What are we waiting for? Let's bring him on, ladies and gentlemen, Gilbert Manzano.
Hey, how's it going, David?
It's going great, man. How are you?
Not too bad, just staying busy with this Rams training camp.
I mean, the Rams, they were one of the first teams to start. So, you know, there's a lot to get into here. Well, thank you once again for joining me. This is our third time chatting. First time with the Rams. Previously, you covered the Chargers. Now you're walking, a different beat, a Super Bowl winning one at that. First off, a non-fantasy question. What's the feel or atmosphere of this training camp like off the Super Bowl win for the Rams? I assume that adds a different element.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot of excitement. You know, they have the Super Bowl trophy out there, Lombardi trophy. People are taking pictures with it. They train at UC Irvine, and it's a pretty big place to pack in fans, and it's pretty busy every day. They get to see players like Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald, and Allen Robinson being a new player, Matthew Stafford, obviously. So a lot of star power, a winning team, a notable coach in Sean McVay. So I've been to a couple Rams training camps before, but it's my first full one. And I'm starting to kind of see like the buzz for the fans and then how they operate, kind of that winning culture, how everybody's happy. They're all, just ecstatic to be Super Bowl champions, but also kind of I think that the slogan is writing that next chapter. They want to be motivated for a second one. And I think that there hasn't been a team to repeat since 2004, the Patriots. So they're pretty motivated, but also there's a lot of laid back California sunshine going on in UC Irvine.
Well, if they want to repeat as champs, they'll need their defense with Aaron Donald to bring it once again. But their offense, this offense wasn't too shabby last year either. This team was eighth in total points scored, ninth in total yards, and fourth in yards per play. Pretty good. And it was mostly through the air with the explosive connection of Stafford to Cooper Kupp, who kind of came out of nowhere to be a fantasy god, leading the way. They were 10th in pass attempts, but 23rd in rush attempts. So I leaned to the pass game, and I don't think that's where McVay wants to be in terms of balance based on years past and, kind of knowing a little bit more about this team. But from what you've seen or heard in camp, what should we expect from this offense in 2022? Are they looking to unleash that air attack still or bring in the ground game a little more if it can be more effective?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of both. And I think the main focus right now is how do you make it work with Allen Robinson? And yeah, it sounds easy because he's a great player. Allen Robinson did so well with the Jaguars and the Chicago Bears. And Robinson, you know, put up numbers in Chicago despite, you know, poor quarterback play. And the thing with Allen Robinson, because, you know, we are talking fantasy football, you know, you have him in your lineup and you just feel like, come on, do more, do a little more. It's like 10 points, you know, 12 points. It's nice, but it just doesn't feel like an impact. And when you look at the end of the year, oh, Allen Robinson, top 10, in all these receiving categories. Okay, that's nice, but it didn't feel like it. With the Rams, they want to get that sense where it feels like, okay, Allen Robinson is a guy. He is not underrated. He is in a similar tier as Cooper Kupp. Obviously, it's not easy to get to the Cooper Kupp range, and you see it in training camp. Like Cooper Kupp, you know, is comfortable. He knows the offense. He's the leader. He's going first in the receiving line. So now it's getting Allen Robinson to kind of get to that level. And it's funny because, you know, a year ago, you know, Cooper Kupp was going through that with Matthew Stafford, trying to get that chemistry. And it's funny that it's only been a year, but it feels like these guys have been together for a long time with the chemistry. So they're taking that blueprint, that Stafford Kupp blueprint, and trying to apply it to Allen Robinson and making it work and having a great year like Kupp and Stafford did a year ago. So they're trying to figure that out. And it felt like the first week, you know, Stafford was just taking chances and just kind of maybe forcing it, getting a feel for the touch and where, what's the radius for Allen Robinson. And there was a couple of interceptions. You know, it led to moments for rookie Darian Kendrick, who was a 6th-round pick from Georgia, to have his moments because they were really experimenting and it made the rookie look good, the cornerback. But then, you know, as you got into week two, you really felt the presence of Allen Robinson and he just like, okay, that's why they got him. So that's kind of the main goal. But and obviously the second part of the question was being a little more balanced with the running attack. And that's taken some time because with running backs, and especially two that are coming back from injuries, Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson, you don't want to, you know, rush them too much. So the carries and padded practice have been very limited. You haven't seen this big run or explosive, you know, bang, bang play because they're not really hitting either. And they're coming off injuries. So they're trying to get a feel for it. And it's been tough, I could tell. But Sean McVay views Daryl Henderson and Cam Akers as their starters, and he wants to give them more work, but it's just a tough balance right now. But that is one of the goals, is to be a little more efficient with the rushing attack.
I love it, Gilbert. Allen Robinson, you know, from what I see on the timeline, he seems to be, you know, the buzz of camp so far for the offense. And it kind of makes sense. You know, he's this is a pretty well-established team. Stafford, obviously, just here the 1 year, but, you know, a longtime pro. You know, working Robinson into the fold of a machine that was working pretty well last year makes sense that they're focusing on that. You know, he was a bit of a dud last year in Chicago, and that stink is carrying over and lingering in drafters' priors. Talk to us about A-Rob, though. You know, how are they using him? Is he moving all over the field? What can we expect from Robinson in this offense?
Yeah, you know, they want to make him the X receiver, the big body receiver. You know, Cooper Kupp is kind of the guy who does everything, moves around the slot, outside, whatever you want. And obviously Robinson could do the same thing, but they have guys to play on the inside, Kupp and Van Jefferson. We'll get to Van Jefferson in a bit. So they want Robinson to be that big man, that red zone target, jump ball, large catch radius. And they kind of been missing that over the years. You know, Robert Woods was also pretty savvy, kind of crafty inside guy, gave a little bit of everything. You know, same thing with Odell Beckham. But you know, I know Robinson is not like the largest guy. He's not a DK Metcalf, but he has size and he's pretty big, you know, bulky. So they want to make him that red zone target. And I think that's why some mistakes have occurred, because, you know, when you're in that, you know, 20 yard line, you know, it's limited space and you got to figure out how to put the ball in these tight places. And then led to a couple of interceptions, but there was that day where like Robinson just went off, and you know, Stafford had, you know, went through his second, third read, and he just said, you know, screw it. I see the guy Robinson is a big man, tight window, jump ball, only where he could get it, came down with it, toes in bounce, and that's what you want to see from those two guys. So it's kind of feel and chemistry, and that's what you want to do in July and August. So maybe that's music to people's ears for fantasy. Like, he's a red zone target. You want those touchdowns. So in terms of that, they're trying to make him the touchdown guy. So and make him the big receiver. So he will definitely be heavily involved, and hopefully for Allen Robinson, he can make up for those kind of shaky years in years past.
I mean, that is music to our ears, and we want the touchdowns in our lineups, Gilbert, as many as we can get. And quite frankly, we got a lot last year from Cooper Kupp. As I mentioned, he kind of came out of nowhere and went absolutely nuclear last year. The numbers are so gaudy. They need to be repeated, Gilbert. He had 191 targets, 145 catches, almost 2,000 yards, and hit pay dirt 16 times. Wowza, still amazing. obviously, an outlier year like that won't be repeated, but how has Kupp looked? And should we expect, you know, business as usual with Stafford and Kupp? I mean, this connection seems pretty strong. It seems like the floor is still very high.
Yeah, you know, when you're trying to get a little more balance and you're bringing in a notable player like Allen Robinson, you would think the Kupp numbers will go down just a slightly little more. But, you know, he's still the guy out there when you watch him play. Like, I wrote a story not too long ago in the OC Register where I was trying to compare, like, they have to move fast, Stafford and Robinson, get on the same page. And with Kupp, you're seeing it every single day, that chemistry has with Stafford, it becomes almost routine, and it's not boring. It's just like, oh, another big play, that's pretty spectacular, impressive play. Kupp is always making his presence felt. Like, there's some guys that you're always looking for, like, okay, can you do something today? Can you stand out? And that's never an issue with Cooper Kupp. He's making big plays every single day in practice, and not just in the team drills, and when he's doing the footwork, the routes, and it just looks so effortless and flawless. So yeah, this guy's a player. He got paid like that, you know, top three wide receiver. So I wouldn't be too concerned. I know Cooper Kupp and a lot of drafts is going first round, you know, especially as PPR. So, you know, take the pick and don't be concerned. He's going to do his thing, especially because Stafford always goes to him, and that chemistry is only going to get better in year two. I am a little concerned about Stafford, and they keep saying that he's feeling some elbow pain, some arm pain. He had the injection in the offseason, and he didn't throw. And then he had a great first week, but then now he's kind of feeling like the lingering of the soreness. So hopefully he's okay. But if Stafford's out there, Cooper Kupp and Adam Robbins are going to be okay.
Well, let's move on to Stafford real quick before we hit on the other receivers. You know, he was his first year in LA was a smashing success, both on the field and for fake football. The Rams were top five in passing yards and second in passing touchdowns with an eye-popping 41. I'm sure, you know, we've talked about it being business as usual for Stafford, but now, you know, this is the arm soreness. You know, managing Stafford's health, I think, is a big deal for the Rams and a priority. Could we see that pass volume come down a bit? We've mentioned, you know, wanting to get the run game going, but, you know, not just for the balance, but just to keep Stafford healthy and on the field.
Yeah, I could definitely see that early on, because I think Sean McVay and the Rams style, okay, you know, he had the entire offseason program to recover from that injection. He's good. And they went pretty heavy the first week. It was heavy workload. He did not look limited. And that's why I say, oh, it looks like same old Stafford. But then, you know, that second when he started feeling kind of the pains and the aches, and maybe they might be a little more cautious now that they did that. Like, oh, let's kind of slow down. So maybe the first week, I mean, the first month of the season, they could kind of, you know, limit the throws. That game against Buffalo is coming up quick. I'm excited for that game, by the way. It's a big juggernaut matchup, but it's coming. It's 4 or 5 weeks away, so they're going to be very cautious. It's going to be very telling to see how they use him in the next month. I wouldn't be surprised if it's very limited. But yeah, they got to keep him fresh and healthy, because they are aiming for another lengthy, you know, 21 game season, and for them hopefully a repeat. So I'm not too concerned yet, but he is 34 years old, but he is very experienced, so it wouldn't be a surprise if they try to just kind of limit the throws and maybe lean on the running game. Maybe that could benefit everybody come December.
I will also be at that Bills Rams game as of now. Yeah, looking forward to that one. Gonna be pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's quickly circle back to the wide receivers before we move on to the running backs, who I'm anxious to talk about. Van Jefferson was obviously trending as that third wide receiver until he got hit with the injury bug. Can you update us on that? And what should we expect from this wide receiver core?
David, you should be concerned. I think he just had surgery yesterday. So I think he had a knee tweak, according to Sean McVay, over the weekend. And they were concerned that he could be out for the whole year. And Sean McVay was pretty testy when reporters said, hey, what's he up there? What's going on? Why is Van Jefferson out of practice? And he's like, we're figuring it out. Don't ask me. So he was pretty concerned. And then a couple of days later, he was pretty relieved that he called it a minor surgery, which I don't know how surgery is minor, but He had a procedure on his knee, and they're guessing a few weeks, but you never know. So now they're very thin, and Van Jefferson was for sure the third guy. He was always out there in this personnel 11, Robinson, Cup, and Van. So he was going to be heavily involved. Now it's like, okay, what do you do for if he's out the first month of the season or a couple of games? And Sean McVay couldn't, you know, guarantee that he'll be out there for the week one thing. So it's up in the air. The last couple of practices, we've seen Ben Skowronek be the number three wide receiver. He's a second year guy. You know, he has size to him, but he hasn't been consistent. It's going to take him some time if he wants to be a player. And then Tutu Atwell, he was a second round pick last year, and he went through some injuries and he never found the rhythm. And so far this year or this summer, he hasn't really stood out. And when the Van Jefferson injury happened, the Rams made an effort to give him the ball, give him plays that suit his skill set, and he stood out for one day. So we'll see if they could build off of that. But it is a big opportunity for Ben Skowronek and Tutu Atwell. And it's just bad time because, yeah, they want to get Odell Beckham Jr. back, and Sean McVay's been flirting with Odell, and I think it's been picking up more because of Van's injury. So he's been a little more obvious about it. But he's not ready. While Van's out, OBJ is rehabbing too. So it doesn't really benefit them now. So they need Ben Skowronek or Tutu Atwell to do something if it lingers into the season.
Ooh, Van's going to be out long. I mean, you need to be drafting Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That guy's going to see a lot of targets. Okay. Well, let's talk about the running backs next. This is where drafters need some help because, you know, Cam Akers has his believers, but a lot of detractors. People like his RB1 upside, but he wasn't, he's a bit uneven in his still amazingly quick return, though, from the Achilles injury last year. You know, and the Rams do have Daryl Henderson, who's pretty good. So you're out there at camp. You've talked about it a little bit so far. It seems like both of these guys are getting a lot of looks. Is there going to be a clear RB1 here? Or I also know that the Rams are very covert in what they're actually going to do. So we might not know, but what's the buzz about the running backs in LA?
Yeah, like I mentioned, Sean McVay keeps saying that he feels like he has two starters, and Daryl Henderson and Cam Akers. The reporters don't buy it. I'm not really buying it. I know I'm new here, but you could tell the Cam Akers is the number one guy. And not because of what I've seen this summer, it's because of the potential he had going into last summer. There was so much hype around Cam Akers, and then he got hurt with the Achilles, and it was just, you know, very deflating. But he came back, and it was a great story. But it took him a while to find this rhythm. You know, he didn't really contribute much down the stretch. And, you know, he had a great start against the Cardinals in the wild card game. And then he kind of couldn't really figure it out. Maybe he had that similar Stafford setback where you feel the lingering pains of coming back so fast. But right now they're just trying to, you know, limit the carries. Like you don't want to rush Cam Akers because you know the potential. So he hasn't been out there a lot in terms of getting carries when it comes to padded practices, but don't be alarmed. This guy's going to be the guy come week one. You know, I think they're just being cautious. And I think Sean McVay is just struggling with the balance because he knows running backs need to get some work in, that they can't be rusty and going into week one, but he's coming off a major injury and he wants to be safe. So that's why I'm seeing a whole lot of Daryl Henderson right now, and his injury wasn't as big. He's dealt with injuries throughout his career, and maybe it's could be an opportunity for him to show something to maybe legit be a backfield committee. But right now, it's Cam Akers' job, and so far, Henderson hasn't stood out to make it a real competition because he's added a good amount of carries, and then just like, okay, he has one run here, one run there, but it's not like, oh, this guy's really, you know, he's doing something to change the mindset. So it's definitely Cam Akers, but you know, it's going to be interesting with Daryl Henderson. If Kyren Williams comes back, the rookie, they drafted the rookie for a reason because they didn't think there was enough depth, you know, behind Cam Akers, and Cam Akers was dealing with the injury. So that's going to be interesting. But right now, Daryl Henderson is the guy because Cam is coming through his recovery phase and Kyren is out with injury. So we'll see, but it could be a backfield committee, but I still think it's Cam Akers.
Does Akers look a little more fluid this summer in his movement? Not that he looked all that rusty on the field last year. And I also want to point out, you know, he almost fumbled away the Tampa Bay game and the Rams went right back to him. Yeah. Next week, so a lot of faith in him. So I lean Akers as well. But what's his movement like?
It looks good to me. I know again that he's not really getting the full workload. Like Until you get out there, you really don't know. But when he's, you know, maybe in space, he's making the cuts. He still has some bursts, and it's just you don't really see it because he's not getting the full contact right now. But he looks in shape to me after going through what, you know, 6 months of recovery, a little more recovery time. You would think he'd be better off, but we probably won't really know until week one, unless McVay is like, okay, for this final week of training camp, let it rip, Cam Akers, or when they have the scrimmages against the Bengals. Okay, Cam Akers, is your time because you're not playing the preseason, but in the scrimmages, let me see what you got. So it's a little too early to tell, but when he's out there, you know, in space and doing individual drills, he looks like he's in shape, and he's still, you know, athletic, and at times he's lowering the shoulder and doing what he does best and hitting people.
This is why we're here, Gilbert. Thank you so much. Great insights. We're getting some on-the-field talk. All right. Well, you mentioned Kyren Williams. Dynasty Twitter was all about this guy until the combine. Then they famously fell out of love with him there. But he did land on the Rams, and that's definitely an offense that drew some interest in him once again. Can you tell us about his potential role?
Yeah, you know, he had the foot injury, and he hasn't been out there for training camp, and he was in a boot for a couple of weeks. He's out of the boot, and I think Sean McVay is saying that he could probably be ready for those scrimmages in Cincinnati. And that's going to be a big week to see the running backs, you know, Kyren Williams and Cam Akers and Darrell Henderson, if Kyren is back. I think maybe he was being optimistic there, Sean McVay. So, but they're still aiming for week one to be available. It's going to be tough for a rookie to just, you know, jump in after a foot injury like that. But I think he's still on track. I haven't seen the guy on the field yet, so I can't really say too much about him. But I know there's potential for him coming out of Notre Dame. But he's behind right now. And when you're playing behind Darrell Henderson and Cam Akers, that might take you a whole season to kind of get up to their level. So there is potential. They drafted him for a reason. They like his skill set, but right now he's behind because of the injury. So we'll see how it goes, you know, come September.
Let's round to the finish here in the tight end room, Gilbert. Tyler Higbee is the starter, and there were high expectations last year. And while he didn't quite smash the way people wanted, he is, you know, on the field a lot. So, you know, and that's what we want. We want guys on the field. He was a pinky toe away from adding another TD as well. Not that I'm bitter about missing out on that TD that cost me a week, but that's okay. It's okay, Gilbert. We're going to move on from that. Higbee did get hurt end of last year, and Kendall Blanton was a DFS slate breaker in his place. There's also been some positive Bryson Hopkins reports, I believe. Can you help us with the tight ends here?
Tyler Higbee is healthy, and he's back in his starting role, and he has a connection with Matthew Stafford. I've seen him make plays out there. It's Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, and before Van got hurt, you know, Van was out there, and Higbee, that was a big four, and he was making plays. But yeah, not now after what you saw with these two young tight ends, you're like, okay, how do you get them incorporated? And they haven't really done that too much, or at least not with Stafford. They've been heavily involved in the second team. And yeah, you know, I'm still new and trying to figure out the roster, but, you know, the scouting report was that Bryson Hopkins was more of the pass catching tight end and Kendall Blanton was more of the inline blocking tight end. But Kendall's showing he could do both, you know, both two ways. So they're talented. They're big guys. You know, I seen them with the backup of John Wolford and the second team, and they're making plays. So I would not be surprised if they're up there with Higbee and making plays. But for right now, it is Higbee's job. And again, I'm learning how the Rams operate. I don't know how much two tight ends they play because they love going three wide receivers and getting the running backs involved. But Higbee looks back to form, and he has the chemistry with Stafford. But don't count out the potential of the other two guys because they have the skill set, and they have shown flashes to me in the last couple of weeks.
And it sounds like, you know, if they're thin at wide receiver, you know, they might want to figure out a way to get, you know, some of their best athletes involved. Absolutely love it. Gilbert, a masterclass once again. We're going to get you out of here. All right. But we have one last question, and it's a bit of a toughie. What's your boldest fantasy take for the Rams in 2022?
That's a tough one, especially because the injuries are just throwing everything off. But yeah, sorry, you put me in the spot, David, because I'm really thinking because I could go tight end here. And then I wanted to go Kyren Williams, but then the injury. I wanted to go Van Jefferson and then the injury. So it's a little safe, but it's a little, I don't know, it could be big for people. So I'm going to go Allen Robinson. He's going to have a big year. I don't know. It's not going to be the Cooper Kupp level. But if you draft this guy and say you get some value in him in the fourth round, you're going to be ecstatic because the way he is looking with Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp kind of being the 1-2 right now, because there's no third receiver, he's going to get fed. And I know you wanted a bolder take, but I just haven't seen enough from Tutu Atwell or Ben Skowronek to go that route. And I haven't seen enough from the running backs just yet. So I'm going to play a little cautious here, and I'm going to say Allen Robinson is going to make up for the pain that he might have caused to some of his fantasy owners in previous years.
I would never ask you to be too bold on Tutu Atwell, Gilbert.
Yes, yeah, I've been trying, and you know, hopefully for him, he figures it out. But
hopefully for the Rams, they've wasted a second-round pick on this guy. Anyway, touchy subject for me.
Now. Yeah, he has an opportunity right now, so we'll see. I'll let you know how he's looking. But, yeah, I'm not ready to go there.
Okay. Well, Gilbert, you've said it all. Where can people find all your stuff?
So I'm, you know, yes, my job changed from covering the Chargers to the Rams, but, you know, more job title, but still the same employer, Orange County Register, Los Angeles Daily News, any newspaper under the Southern California News Group umbrella. You'll see my bios, my stories, my Ram stories. You know, I've been doing some in-depth stuff, some newsy stuff, camp insights. So follow my stories. Or you wanted for me to make it easier for you, just follow me on Twitter. I link all my stories at gmonsano24. I'm also going to, you know, hopefully have a Rams podcast soon. So be on the lookout for that. And hopefully I can give more content for the Rams followers.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic. And I can't wait to subscribe to that. And give him a follow. And also, Gilbert, you make the rounds on the radio. So keep an ear out, keep an eye out. You're on VSIN sometimes, which I love VSIN. So keep an eye out for Gilbert. He's a man about town. All right, Gilbert, thank you so much once again, and have a great season.
Thank you, David. Always fun, and hopefully next year we could do it again.
Allen Robinson, hit the draft button. You are now dialed in.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.